Hi everyone, episode 8 of Spill the Tea with Jimmy C podcast with me, your host Jim. And here joining us today is my good friend Mason. Mace, how are you, mate? And thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Hello, I'm very good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on. Mason, this is episode 8 now, and Mason is probably one of the biggest fans and listeners to the podcast. You can say otherwise if you want, but I'll just edit it out. He's one of the biggest listeners of the podcast so far. So thank you for being a subscriber and following along. And just before I press record, I said, well, this is the format and this is how we do it, and doing a bit of, you know, intro. And actually I said, you know how it works. It's not going to change apart from what you're going to speak about. And actually, if you want to, mate, you can interview me, you know.
I know, I'm not that great at interviewing.
You'd be fine, So, so welcome to the podcast. As with all the guests, I send a bit of a brief thing out beforehand and say, this is what we're going to be doing, this is what we're going to talk about. However, it's open for all discussion. So, Mason, I understand, and for those that can see, we have filmed this, but I'm trying not to put these out unless anybody particularly wants to see them. But Mason's background is of mountains. Now, you are quite a avid walker / hiker trekker person. So tell us a bit about some of the places you've walked, some of the mountains you've climbed, and what got you into it, and why do you like? Because I personally love walking. When I get up to the lakes, Lake District or wherever, I love doing a bit of walking, but this is not about me. I'm going to shut up. This is about you. Mm-hmm. So tell us all about your walking and hiking and how you got into it, mate.
So I'm a city boy. I was born and raised in Southeast London.
Big up the London.
Yeah. Yep. So my mother sort of channeled me into like scouts, cubs.
Big up the scouts, bruv. Yes. Yes. Loving that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I did that for a few years, and doing that, I was, you know, sort of put outside. I went walking, did a bit of wild camping, and then sort of as that sort of disappeared, and I sort of got older and I started doing other things. So I went cadets. Mm-hmm. I was in the Royal Marine Cadets. Nice. So more outdoors there, and I did my Duke of Edinburgh.
Okay.
So during my Duke of Edinburgh, I did bronze, silver, and gold. We went to the New Forest, did a lot of walking over there. So it's a lot of like the New Forest is lowland. Mm-hmm. So not your mountains. And it wasn't until I did my silver and gold that we went sort of wild country. Mm-hmm. So we went to Brecon.
And oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. That's where, you know, the love of mountains come from, really. So I did a few mountains over in the Brecon. It wasn't great, because the kit we had back then was a little bit different to the kit we have now. Mm. So got the usual blisters, and we also had a massive Bergen on, so that wasn't helpful.
Which is quite interesting, because actually we only established this recently, or it was probably established within our group of mates a while ago, but me, I just didn't cotton on. You're 25?
Ooh. Oh, 27.
27. So you saying that the kit back then wasn't that good, it was probably what? When you did it, you would have been about, what, 13, 14, something like that? Maybe a bit younger?
Yeah, yeah. So 13, 14. Yeah. I think a lot of my kit was sort of given to me, you know, from friends and family. Mm-hmm. Obviously, money was a bit of an issue back then. But, you know, obviously, the kit I was given was the best that we could afford, and it did the trick.
Yeah.
Obviously, now I'm sort of living the life of luxury, and I get the kit that sort of, I read these magazines and they tell me what kit's good, and I'll buy the kit. Yeah. So
I like a bit of kit. I've seen some of your Facebook posts, and we've talked about it as well, but I saw one of your Facebook posts recently that you had on, where was it, Facebook or was it Instagram? I can't remember. But you put on, you bought some new kit, and I, you know, I don't walk as much as I should do, but as you know, I do airsoft, So I love a bit of kit. When I was in the police, I loved a bit of kit. Doing health and safety, I love having new stuff and new bits of kit to be able to do the job properly. And some people go, "Oh yeah, but you're a bit of a, you know, you're a bit of a kit monster." I'm like, "Yeah, but if you got shit kit, then it's going to be a shit experience. So if you can get good kit, then it's good." And I get what you're saying. You know, when I was growing up, we were given stuff, but you get passed over bits from other people. You know, the scouts, you know, I'm a scout leader within Norfolk, and I wasn't a scout as a kid, but I was in the boys brigade, and I get, you know, you get people get they get people donate stuff, and you know, it's really please, anybody listening, I'm not, you know, if you donate stuff, I'm not slagging you off. I'm saying people donate stuff, but it sometimes is it's great, but it's not always suitable. And what I was getting at is, you said, "Oh, you know, some of the kit wasn't always good." I'm 10 years older than you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I was younger, some of the kit wasn't great. And I've got friends who were in the forces and stuff, and some of their stuff wasn't marvelous. But now, some of the gear that you can get is it's fucking amazing, basically. And it is, you know, I saw something the other day, and it's probably not new, but I saw one of them jackets that you can have that you can like charge off a battery charger, or you know, like,
yeah,
and it heats up. And I was like, yes, I need to buy one of them. I looked at the price tag and then went, no, fuck that, I'm not buying one. It's too expensive. But no, sorry, you were saying so you're in the scout, you got donated stuff, you got Digiduke of Edinburgh, which is like,
yeah so a lot of stuff that was given to me. I think I had a pair of army boots, and they're not lightweight, you know, compared to some of the gear we've got now. And I was trekking up Brecon Beacons, and that's rough terrain. And I think on the first night I got quite a few blisters, and I sort of just soldiered on through it, you know, obviously with a pair of army boots on. But yeah, we managed to do it, and it was good fun. I was the Spock with the map. Yeah, a lot of the people didn't know how to read maps, so I was the one that read the map.
I think map reading is definitely a skill. I did a lot of walking with my parents when I was younger. I was in the boys brigade. I wasn't in the scouts. And again, no, nothing to the boy and against the boys brigade. I was involved in it from a young age, but didn't really when I got older. I didn't really get involved in the older sections of Boys Brigade where they would do things like hiking and camping and stuff, because I wasn't really interested. Because mainly what they were doing was quite low level to what we were doing with my parents. My dad was he's done mountain leadership training when he was younger. And that's always stuck with him. He doesn't do a lot of walking. He's in his mid-60s now, so he doesn't do a lot of walking now, but when we were kids, we did a load of stuff. So we did a lot of walking up in the Lake District, and he'd always teach us about packing our kit and making sure you have things like fresh pair of socks and waterproofs and blah, blah, and all the bits that you would need. And I think that sort of stuck with me, because doing scouts, all right, I'm more of I work on the county part of Norfolk now, where I was a beaver section leader before. And beavers, for those that are listening that don't know, beavers are sort of, I think they're about 5 3/4 to 8, so they're the youngest at the moment, the youngest section of scouting. And we did some little walks and stuff, and we did a couple of little walks, and my last walk, funnily enough, was it was right back at the beginning of March 2020, and it was the night that Boris Johnson made the announcement and said, this is lockdown as from like now, basically, or from tomorrow. We're going into a lockdown. Nobody can do anything anymore. You know, it's limited, et cetera, et cetera. And that night, I was actually out with the beavers, and we did like a 4-mile hike with the parents and all this sort of stuff. And he walked from where the scout hut was 2 miles down the road to the train station, 2 miles back again. But for some of them kids, you know, they're sort of under 6 or 6, that was like a walking bloody, what's it called, Everest for some of them. You know, it was a massive trek, and they really enjoyed it. And then I got back and they said, oh, we're going to be, we're going into lockdown. I got a phone call saying, if you run in your group, you've got to finish because we're going into lockdown. And I said, well, we're halfway on the hike and I can't just abandon all these kids and their parents. And the group scout leader went, yeah, okay, we'll go back and then, you know, sort of cut it all off. And then we did Zoom stuff. And then after that, I left and changed a different job. But yeah, I was teaching some of the kids. We did sort of prep work and stuff. So we for some of their badges that they do. So we were prepping the walk, prepping the kit, you know, and there were some fun games. And it was quite interesting because even though they were younger, some of them, you sort of say to them, what do you need? And they go, well, you need a bag, you need a waterproof, you need a first aid kit, you need water, you need snacks. One of the kids wanted to bring his PlayStation, yeah, for kids' minds. But that is quite interesting for some of them. And I think that especially I find now, because I'm London boy as well, living out in Norfolk, kids that live, most kids that live in rural areas have a bit more of an understanding that you need to have these things available, because from my house to the local shops, you know, you're looking 15-mile round trip, you know. Yeah. Not that you can walk there, where in London you walk down the road, 5 minutes down the road to the shop, if that. So it's a bit of a different thing. But saying that, you know, a lot of people that live in London, like you said, it was, if you do these things, it gets ingrained into you. So
yeah, see, I would highly recommend, obviously, if you've got kids and you live in city areas, you know, just go out, explore the country. We've got a fantastic country. You know, I've been to places, you know, Brecon, Dartmoor, Snowdonia National Park, the Peak District, the Lake District, the Highlands, and, you know, Brecon Beacons is only about 3 hours away from London. And, you know, you get some mountains there, you get waterfalls, and it is a stunning country. And I think more than ever now, obviously with the pandemic, there will be more staycations. But we've got a fantastic country to explore. You know, and when I am on these hills, you see children walking up them like they're nothing, where I'm struggling up to get up a mountain. These kids are just bombing it up, and it's amazing to see. And obviously scouts brought that to me, being in the city. You know, we would go into Bromley, and there's some places at Bromley that are country, which is really good. And yeah, definitely go and explore.
Absolutely. And I would definitely say to anybody, and I wish I did a bit more. I mean, I do a lot of walking around here in Norfolk. There are places to go. So I live up near Sandringham, where the Queen's house is, the royal family live. And there's like Sandringham Park, so you can walk around it. You can do miles around there. There's ones, and then there's a lot of the coastline walks. And I've actually done a really nice walk from. I have to drive, but I drive about 4 miles to one of the local villages. I then walk down. There's a sluice or a canal, and there's going to be people listening from the area going, you've lived here 6 years and you don't know what the bloody hell it's called. It's a river. It's a big river full of water. And basically it travels from King's Lynn, from out in the sea, comes into King's Lynn, and then goes down through like King's Lynn, down the market, down towards Ely and places like that. And you can go to this point, park your car, walk down to this town along the river called Downham Market, which is near me. And then you can walk up back up through some of the villages. I think it's about, in all, I think it's about 15, 20 miles. And it's probably taken, I've done it once. I'm going to hopefully do it again very soon. And it takes about, you stop including breaks, that's about 8 hours, 7 hours. But that, when I went, it was absolutely pissing it down with rain. Really heavily. I just put my waterproofs on and just cracked on, and it was really windy as well. So that, and the grass, I think it was sort of coming up to winter. I think it was 2019. I think it was when I last walked it. I mean, that's a long time ago. And the grass was really long, so that was even harder as well, because you're trying to push through the wind, push through the rain, push through the grass. And at one point, I thought, so I walked the other way, and I thought, no, because I want to walk down the river and then walk up through the villages. And it was really weird, because by the time I'd walked I think the whole walk down the river from the one village to the town is probably, well, it's going to be half. So you're looking about 7, 8, 9 miles. And like, I literally got to the town, it stopped raining, the sun come out, wind stopped. So I was like, oh, thanks very much. So I've walked all the way down the pissing river. You've pissed on me and you've blown the wind in my face and made it really difficult. And now I've got all cut through the villages in the sun, which was really nice. Because
it is great British weather there, basically. British weather.
Do you not think, I think you might have just touched it just now, do you not think that there, if you go out and see these, if you drive past them, you miss stuff. If you walk, you can, obviously, you, some of the mountain range, you can't drive up them, but areas that you can walk in, that you could drive to, we could drive past, if you walk, you see so much more.
Yeah, you do see a lot more, obviously, wildlife and, you know, the different smells. You know, you don't really see an area if you drive through it. And obviously, this mountain in my home screen here, I think it's Pennyfan. And you know, you can drive around the roads within that area, and you'll see those mountains on clear days. But when you go and climb them, you just see so much, and it's that sense of achievement. You know, I think Snowdon has a train that goes up to the top.
That's right. Yeah.
I think you lose the sense of achievement if you take the train. I know some people, you know, when they go to the top of the mountain, take the train. But I think walking up a mountain, you get a lot more feeling out of it. And it's a great, on a clear day, it's fantastic.
Is this where you went recently?
Yes, this is it. So, Pennyfan, did Corndew, big fan. Hopefully I'm pronouncing these right.
Mate, I'm guessing you are. I'm not Welsh and I've not walked for myself, so I'm guessing. I'll get somebody send a complaint. He pronounced it wrong. Well, yeah, all right, come on, let me try.
Yes.
Have you done I've never done, well, I don't think I've done, I've not done Snowdon as an adult. I may have done some of it as a child. I think a lot of them. I've done most of the mountains in the Lake District because my grandparents lived up there. And we used to go there regularly on holidays. So,
how many is most? Because I think there's 214 fells.
Mate, I couldn't tell you. My dad would probably be able to tell me.
So that's something I'd love to achieve, the Wainwright bragging rights, you know, to climb all 214.
I would say I've done a lot.
I think I've done 9, I believe. 9 fells.
Which ones have you done?
Good question. So I've done Scarfell Pike.
Yeah, done that one.
Great Dodd.
I think I did Scarfell. I was about 6 or 7. I literally was chucked up that. And
I've got them all in an app. I can't picture them in my head now. That's terrible, isn't it? I've done Great Gable. There's a monument on top of that.
Yeah.
So if you're ever in that area, go up there. Base Brown, that's another one.
Have you done Coniston?
No, I've not done the Old Man of Coniston.
Oh, I've done that. I think I've done that one. Not as an adult, again, as a child, I think, more.
There will definitely be more trips up to the Lake District. It's just disappointing. It's a little bit further away than Wales.
Yeah, it's we're quite lucky. I mean, my grandparents passed away quite a few years ago now. But they moved up. Funny enough, they lived... My mum's from Bromley. And they lived in the Bromley area because they're from Southland. And they moved up when they retired. And they lived up in the lakes. And they lived in a big house. And then they lived in a little bungalow in a place called Eltwater, which is just outside of Ambleside, the other side, going towards Scarfell and that way. And we stayed and did a lot of stuff there. And then when they passed away, we had a couple of years, I think, where... We stayed there while they were trying to sort the house out, my mum and her siblings. And then we've got friends of ours who have a second home in the Lake District. And we're lucky to be able to rent their home. They let it out to family and close friends, and we're able to take the kids up, which is good. So we've done Loughrigg with the kids. They love that one.
Yes, that's a nice family-friendly one.
It is. However, it'd be interesting because we missed going to the Lake District last year. We didn't go because the people who owned the house had sort of closed the house off, didn't want anyone going because of COVID. There were restrictions. But we're going again this year. And the year before last, we walked Loughrigg and we really struggled. And I hope with the way that Michaela, my wife, and I have changed in, you know, fitness and, you know, weight and stuff like that, that we'll hopefully find it a bit easier. And the kids are bigger as well. We took the kids up and they were younger, and I think they were okay. They whinged like all kids do. I remember whinging going up mountains when I was a kid, but they struggled.
I think I still whinge now.
Mate, I do. I whinge walking down the fucking stairs. Oh, my legs! I'm so old.
Yeah. See, I did a national Three Peaks a few years ago, and you know I'm not a fit guy. You know, and we did.
That's not what I've been told, baby.
We did it in 27 hours. That includes obviously driving time.
Yeah.
And I think that after the next day, do you know what? Once we'd finished it, I couldn't get up the smallest of steps.
Really?
Do you know, my knees, everything just hurt.
I've wanted to do. I actually nearly did. Do the Three Peaks. Back in, it was meant to be last year, last June. And we weren't going to, because of the sort of average age of the team, because there were some friends of mine who are a little bit older, they said, we can't do it in 24 hours. We're not fit enough, and B, we're fit enough to walk mountains, but we can't, you know, we're past doing it. And I said, okay, well, if you actually, for those, anybody listening, if you actually look at the National Three Peaks, they have for a few years, you can do it in 24 hours or you can do it over 3 days. And as long as you do it, as long as you start on a Friday and finish on a Sunday, or start on a Saturday and finish on a Monday, and you can show that, it's recognised as well. The challenge is, and I've got a few friends of mine who have, and a bunch of guys from my local village did it I think it was about 2018, I think it was, or 2017. They did it in 23 hours and 40 or something. And they were really pushed for time. But I think if you do it, you know, you do the Three Peaks over 3 weekends, or you do it over 3 months, I think to do all three, and also the Yorkshire Three Peaks as well, National Three Peaks, anybody who can do any of them at any point, whether you do it in 24 hours, 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, whatever, I think, and the Yorkshire Three Peaks, there are so many places and so many different challenges that people can do. I mean, when people say about mountain walking, they always go, oh yeah, let's do the Three Peaks. And I've known people who've bloody run up them as well. I'm like, that's mental.
I think when I was at Brecon, there was a lady and she lapped me twice, and she was running, she was doing laps of the mountains, and I'm just thinking to myself,
fell runners,
you know, mate. I wouldn't dream of doing that.
Nah.
Do you know, if you lived in those areas, yeah, maybe. If I could step foot out my back door and it's there, potentially. But you know, obviously going on to the Three Peaks, doing it in 24 hours, I think if you do it in 3 days, it's an achievement. Do you know, if you do it in three weekends,
yeah, you do it all, it's an achievement. Absolutely.
Yeah, if you get up to one mountain, regardless of how fast or how slow, it is an achievement. And you know, I don't get up these mountains pretty quick, but as soon as I'm at the top, it's like, it's the same feeling. Do you know, like, I've got up here, I've done it.
Absolutely. What do you, so here's one for you then. So what is your, what was your easiest mountain to climb?
It will probably be Castle Craig in the Lake District.
Okay.
It's one of the lowest fells. I think it's, I can't think of how tall it is. It's nothing too big. But yeah, once you're on top of that, there's an old fort.
Okay.
And it's all slate, so it's really good up there. It's really surprising, like you just see the slate fall, and you know, there's another monument up there as well. But it's a low one, but good views of the valley.
Would you say that was your favourite one, or?
No, I'd probably say that Snowdon it's got a place in my heart. Snowdon, like Snowdon National Park, I just want to explore that a lot more. I think I've done two mountains in Snowdon. That's Snowdonia and Cadair Idris. If you don't know Cadair Idris, apparently if you sleep on the mountain, you either wake up a poet or a madman. So maybe I'll try that in my lifetime.
I was going to say, have you slept on there yet? Which one have you woken up as?
I'll let you decide that one.
I'll put that to the chat, mate, or lads chat, and see what they come back and say. I won't be able to repeat some of the comments on here, probably. But
yes, Snowdon just has a place in my heart. That there are many ways up Snowdon Mountain, but do you know what? It's a fantastic national park.
What would you say your hardest one is then? Your hardest planning
I'd say Scafell Pike.
Do you think?
That was the hardest for me, because when me and my friend did it, we were climbing it just as the sun was setting, and we got to the top of Scafell Pike and it was pitch black. The wind was hitting us. Yeah. Do you know what? And it was a bit of an oh shit moment.
Yeah.
And do you know what? I literally sat there. I was like, we're going to have to call Mountain Rescue for this one. And you know, lucky enough, we got off. But that was just mental.
Yeah, that is, I think, walking mountains, climbing mountains. Again, I need to do more as an adult. I need to start doing. I live in Norfolk, which is a place you can do excellent walking, but it's shit for mountains because it's all flat. So there are literally, if you get a steep bit in the road, people start to panic. but I love you all, Norfolk. So don't come around and burn my house down. You know, Scafell, I would say, have you ever been, you know, the tarn underneath, Stickle Tarn? Mm-hmm. Have you ever been swimming in there?
No, I haven't. I've done excellent. No wild swimming.
It's excellent. I've done it probably, I think I was about 10. Me and my cousin Tom, we walked up there with family, and he and I decided to go and have a swim. It was fucking freezing, but it was an experience. Would I go back and do it as an adult? Probably, but I'd probably get arrested. I don't know. You can't do shit like that now. So I don't know if you're allowed to do that.
You can wild swim. There's loads of literature out there about wild swimming. And there's quite a few people on the Facebook groups that I follow that do a lot of it. You know, I think there's a lake in the Peak District that people wild swim in, but they shouldn't because it's really bad. It's got lots of chemicals in. But yeah, a lot of people do it. They don't do it naked, so don't do it naked.
No, I wouldn't do that. You will get arrested. Oh, wicked. So what I do as well with these is I do have some quick fire questions which I chuck in. So what is your favorite Nando's order or takeaway? Now, it's quite interesting because I've asked this question to quite a few different people, and most of the people I've asked it to say, oh, don't eat Nando's, it's crap. However, I did a podcast the other day, and the person said, I just said to him, what's your favourite takeaway? And they go, oh, we love Nando's. And I was like, oh, well, that was one of the questions, but I've taken it out now. So that question's to you, mate. What's yours?
Nando's. I don't go there often. I do think it's overpriced chicken. But do you know what? I've actually been craving a Nando's for a few days now. And I will do it when I'm at work because there's one right near my work.
Nice.
I'm a bit boring, so I go lemon and herb because I like the taste. I'll go pita, cheese, a couple of halloumi slices.
Nice.
So I usually go for chips and garlic bread.
It's lovely. What about a takeaway? If you had the choice for a takeaway, or you
don't? Oh, takeaway. Oh.
You're like this. Have you? But the question is, and this is a bit of a private joke, but those that hear it will understand. Have you got a big? Have you got a massive Uber or Uber Eats bill like CM? You like this? I could probably challenge that. I think.
I don't even want to look at it. I probably don't smash. I don't get any close to Chris. You know, he's always a kebab man, isn't he? Like,
well,
he's constantly talking about food.
Breakfast. He had breakfast from there.
Yeah, there we go.
That was mad. I was like, this. If I want breakfast takeaway, I either have to go out or I have to just cook it myself. Can't get
is that when you have to go out hunting the wild boar?
Piss off! It's not that bad up here. It's not that rural, son.
Yeah, I think I've ordered Just Eat takeaway for breakfast once.
Yeah.
I've got that option, so maybe when I'm a little bit hungover, I might go for it one day.
Well, there places are back open properly again on Monday, aren't they? That will tell everyone when we've recorded this, but around the time. But places are back open again from the 17th. So maybe that Uber Eats breakfast might start coming in a bit more with people. So, so one of the things, it's quite interesting actually, and there's been quite a few people that I've had in the podcast since, because we're now on episode 8. I'll just look down at my notes on the desk just to remind me which one it is. We're now on episode 8. And 7 of those, including this one, have had guests on. And quite a few of the people, including yourself as well, we've never actually physically met face-to-face. We've only ever spoken on Zoom. And we've been friends via Warzone, Call of Duty Warzone. People are thinking, oh, he's talking about bloody Warzone again. He talks about it with Bishop. And we talked about it with Chris, you know, but I think that it's quite a thing which has brought a lot of people together. And we've become friends through that. We've become teammates on the Taters squad. And I think, again, we've not met face to face. So it's quite interesting how I think over the last sort of 14, 15 months, how people have, and I don't know, I was just going to ask your opinion on this, and how people have formed friendships when they've never actually met each other before. And out of all our group of friends that we have, our teammates, I think there was quite a few of them, wasn't there, that actually knew each other beforehand and met up, and that they actually, a lot of them had a love for motor vehicles. So we're in another group and then said, oh, well, let's all start playing Warzone, etc. And then there's been a few others of us which have fed in, like you and me and Pat. And I think it's quite interesting. But see, we both know CM. We both know Chris. You worked with Chris, didn't you?
Yeah, Chris was my boss. So,
yeah, Chris, we love
best
you.
Behavior.
Not really. No, we do really. We do really. And out of all the boys, have you met any of the others yet?
Good question. I've got a really bad memory. I've met Restall. Yes, we went golf with Restall. Yeah, I think you mentioned that in your podcast.
I'm obviously one with a bad memory as well.
Yeah, I think you've highlighted that. So I've met Restall, yep. And obviously Chris. I've met up with Chris a few times. Only through work, though. So it'd be good to see what Chris is like when he's a little bit drunk.
I could tell you some stories. That'll be for another time. Chris, if you're listening, send me the money. I'm going to shut up because actually you can probably tell as many bad stories backwards about me, which we'll say no more. So,
I already know those stories.
Now you know. So you met Chris. So, and this is, you know, if you're happy with talking about this, what do you do then? What do you do for a job? What's your role? It's quite interesting. I know what you do, and it's something that I used to do a bit of as well.
So I won't mention too much about my actual job.
No,
role
that's fine.
But I'm an enforcement officer. I work for a local authority. I was a neighbourhood safety officer within, as I like to call it, Croydonia. Yep. So I started off about 6 years ago. I was, I was a young 18-year-old, wanted to join the police. So I went to become a special, didn't pass the recruitment. So I was like, what can I do to get myself that life experience? So I was a swimming teacher and lifeguard, just come out of college. So I applied for a security company that had a contract in the London Borough of Bromley. Dealing with environmental crime. So I worked there and then Croydon got a contract with the company. So I went to Croydon, applied my trade, and then what happened was Croydon basically done away with the contract, said they're going to get in-house staff. So I applied in-house, and because of the way I worked and how well I did the job, I managed to get a job.
They sacked you. No, I'm joking. You got the job, sorry.
So I got a job. I spent 5 years working at Croydon, working as part of a great team, you know, very passionate about the job. I was part of the community safety accredited scheme. Yep. So got, you know, certain policing powers to do the job. I worked alongside the local policing teams and I loved the job. 5 years I did that, and then I decided, right, I'm going to move on and I want to go into an inner London borough where there's a little bit more work to be done. You know, I could be proactive, because I was very proactive. And, you know, I was working part of a team that some of the officers didn't want to go out and find a work. And I'm sure you and Chris know how that is.
I've experienced that many when we work together as well. I experienced that from him. No, I'm joking. That's from other people. But yeah.
So yeah, so I moved on, went to inner London borough. Now I work, I've been there a year and there's five officers within my team, including the team leader. And do you know what? It was the best move I ever did.
That's good.
Do you know,
You obviously enjoy it.
I love the job. I work with a fantastic team. You know, we've all got each other's back. There's an array of, you know, they're so knowledgeable. And so, they've got so much experience. I'm the youngest person in the team. So some of these guys have got so much experience within the enforcement role. And we deal with a lot of vulnerable people in the community, you know, from drug users, and we come across drug dealers, and it is hectic work. But I love the job, and hopefully I can continue doing it.
That's good. And it appears like me, you are whatever you do, whether it's your walking, whether you're hiking, whether it's your jobs, you're passionate about what you do, which is good. And you said the magic word, which I love, is proactive. Now, yeah, I've done jobs, and Chris and I mentioned in our podcast that we did together. We worked together for a while, and it is difficult. And I've done other jobs as well. And you find people who aren't proactive, and you just get really pissed off, because you just think to yourself, well, you're in a team. There's no I in team. You know, if somebody went off, if you joined a team of people and they were all negative, or they were reactive, or just not proactive, didn't do anything, and you went off on your own, got results, they'd be negative towards you. And that pisses me off. Negatron, I heard the word the other day. Somebody sounded
Negatron.
On a podcast I listened to. So I mixed it somebody. A negatron. Somebody being a negatron just pisses you off, and you just think, oh, fuck off. If you're not going to go and do the job yourself, why are you being negative towards me? And again, you know, I'm not putting local authority down. I've done it myself. You know, I've been there. I've worked I've worked for London local authority. I've worked for Essex. I've worked in Cambridgeshire. You know, I just think that, so I've worked within urban and rural. And they can, I tell you what, mate, if you go to a rural council, they start talking about some shit that, you know, I worked for this one and they started talking about something to do with animals and foxes or some sort of religious. And I'm just sitting there thinking, what? and you listen to that and you just think, and of course then, you know, you get the, you know, you're from the London borough or from London or from those fast-paced places, you I'm not digging myself out here, but you become a bit of an outcast.
Yeah, I had that in Croydon, and you know, obviously where you're being proactive and you want to go and find the work and do the work, and you know, you're like, I'm a little bit of a whiz kid when it comes to legislation, and you know, if there's a way to do something that's said in legislation, that's the way you do it. There's no way around it, because obviously you've got to act within the laws, don't you? And I think because I wasn't a yes man, maybe I clashed a few heads in Croydon.
And I agree with you there. That 100%, I'm going to use a millennial word, that resonates with me, because actually, yeah, I'm not a yes man, and I've never been, and I try not to be. I may have come across to people like I've been a yes man before, but I'm not, because legislation. When I worked, because I was special as well, when I was in special in the job, and when I worked in local authority, there's legislation, and now in health and safety as well, you know, there's legislation. There is staying within the law. In health and safety, there is health and safety legislation and fire safety legislation, but it's been it's not being too anal about it. You need to, because there are laws. And if people breach laws, they're criminal offences, and they can be nicked and they can go to prison. And sorry, for those that don't know what nicked means, though, they can be arrested. it's a job speaking. They can be arrested, go to prison. They can be prosecuted. In health and safety, it's more likely people can go to prison, but it's more likely that they'll be prosecuted and they'll, you know, they'll receive fines, they'll lose their businesses, etc. But I think that it's not a workaround, but it's being it's helping people understand, and I'm trying to think of the right word, but it's actually by looking at what needs to be done and being realistic about it.
Yeah.
So you could go along, and I've seen it so many times, I'm sure you've seen it as well, local authority in the police, you've got people who go along and they're so difficult. And they're like, this is the letter of the law, you must do this. And you're like, well, yeah, okay, but let's look at the situation and let's be realistic about it. And some of the work that I do now, nothing against my clients, but health and safety comes with some of them, or not with my current clients. Okay, let's take that back. People that I've spoken to in the past, they go, health and safety, oh yeah, we'll deal with that when we need to. It comes last on the pile. I try and sort of educate them and say, well, actually, it should come at the top, because it's about keeping people safe. And I'm sure in your job, there are laws that people have got to follow. And if they break those laws, then they're going to get dealt with.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what? It's difficult, because I've seen it firsthand how other countries do it when it comes to certain laws. And do you know, with a police officer, it is literally their end result can potentially be arresting someone. With my job, I don't have that power.
No.
Only for certain offences, which, you know, obviously everyone's got the same power. Won't get into that because it'd be boring. but you know, I was in Germany once, and do you know, there was some guy, he littered something, and these two, obviously, officers, of whatever, like warden types people, came over and was like, you just dropped that. And he's like, oh, okay, I'm so sorry. And they, like, Germany, don't want to mess with them there. They're like, right, you're going to have to pay a fine. And he's like, I don't have any money on me. They took him to the cash point, you know? And they, you know, these wardens, they had handcuffs, CS gas. You know, you wouldn't have that here. No. I've seen security officers carry handcuffs, which, you know, but they can't just use them when they want to use them.
No.
And, you know, sometimes we get some really complicated people that they'll just go, I'll just walk off. And they'll walk off, which is frustrating. But, you know, maybe the law hasn't caught up to, you know, to that sort of this time.
And I get what you say. You go and speak to somebody and they look at you, especially when you work in local authority, and they look at you and they go, well, you can't detain me, you can't touch me, you know, you can't do it. And I think part of a skill that I've learned, because I went from being as a special where, yes, you could detain somebody and you could arrest them on suspicion and all these other things, and there were additional powers that you could use. Yes, you could handcuff them and you know, detain them. Going into local authority, you can't do that. And it's, I think, one of the biggest skills that I picked up was that I then was able to talk to people more and detain them without actually physically detaining them, but by talking to them and asking questions. And that has then helped. That's probably why I bloody talk so much. That has helped then in the future, because when I talk to people about my work and my business, I'd like to think, and hopefully none of them are listening now thinking, well, I only signed with him because he was so bloody boring and he just wouldn't shut the hell up. I had to sign to get him to go away. But I discuss about what I do. I'm very passionate about what I do, and I explain it to him, and I explain it to him in a workable way that's relevant to them. Because if I stand there and say, well, this is what the letter of the law says, in this is what a requirement is, they're going to get bored and go, oh, you're so boring. Yeah, I'll either sign up to get you to sod off, or I'll just go, yeah, I'll speak to you later. If you then put it into a workable way to them, it makes it more relevant to them. And it is difficult. And I feel your pain with stuff, because I've had it before, and I just sit there and think, oh, Okay, well, if you're going to go, bye.
You hit the nail on the head there. You did, and you know, I've seen officers that will, they're not confident when they speak, and you know, people just walk all over them. And you know, I've done this 6 years, so I've still got a lot to learn. But you know, there is a way of talking to people. You know, of you know, showing how confident you are as a person, and you know, and keeping them there, getting the information you need. You know, I've got that way. I will find things out about people, and you know, I'll get the details that I need. You know, and that you know, that will be without being using any sort of force. You know, because the number one thing you've got is your speech and how you talk to people, and so a lot of people do forget that sometimes. It's not all about getting hands on and throwing people around, doing jujitsu moves, but
exactly. Asping people in the police, you know, or leg sweeping or anything like that. You know, it is about asking questions and finding out information. And there is a way of doing it. And if you go in too rough, people are going to shut off from you straight away. And they're not going to tell you information. Or if you go in and try and be, not like them best mate, but you've got to go in, you can be firm but fair and ask stuff and find out information. However, if they close off from you, and you'll get, out of every 10 people, you'll get that one person that closes off and they don't want to talk to you. And they're like, I'll piss off, I'm not talking to you. Or they just walk off. And you just go, you just got to let it go. And I think there have been, in previous jobs that I've done, there have been too many people, they get really offended by it. And then they start shouting, or they go into a situation with both feet, sat, you know, almost stamping their authority. And you think, well, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. And I think, without bigging him up too much, when Chris and I worked together, we had a good partnership where one of us would lead and not, and if he starts talking about something, I'll just let him go, let him crack on with dealing with people, or I would do it and we would back each other up. But I've worked with partners in previous jobs where I do all the leading and then they say something so fucking stupid and you think, you look at me and go,
yeah.
I've built that rapport.
Yeah.
And you've literally just come in and just thrown a hand grenade into the middle of the room and just destroyed
it. Take
cover. But you know, at the end, I'm not gonna sit here and, you know, slag people off who I've worked with, but you know, it's hard being a god. No, I'm joking. Massive look. That's like narcissist, just love myself. Yeah, no, I'm not. But no, mate, it sounds like, you know, you really love your job. And we've had further conversations outside of this podcast, and you talk about what you do. And I sit there and listen when you talk to Chris, and I just think, yeah, it's great. It's great. You're very passionate about what you do. And that really is good with me, when people enjoy what they do. Because if you don't enjoy what you do, I'll turn around and say, well, don't bloody do it anymore. Go get another job and stop bitching about the fact you don't like your job, and just find something you do. So what are your top three programs that you're watching at the moment or have recently watched?
Oh, so recently started watching The Bad Batch, which is a spin-off for the Star Wars. A little bit of a Star Wars geek. If you could see, I've got loads of Lego behind me. So
you were talking about there the other day, all the stuff that you were building.
Yeah, so I've got and The Mandalorian. Can't wait for season three to come out. What's number three? Line of Duty, finished that. Wasn't impressed by the end of it, but, you know.
Yeah, Line of Duty, yeah, I think the end was a bit duff. However, that it could be done, it's clever, because I think that's done on purpose.
Yeah, me too. I think there's going to be another season.
Oh, I think so. I mean, they're saying at the time this might be the last one, but I think that it's quite clever. And I can't remember the guy who wrote it. I'm thinking of Judd, but I don't think it is. The guy who wrote Line of Duty is very clever how he writes that series, that program. And I think that it's purposely been done to leave a cliffhanger. Because you look at Line of Duty. If the BBC, in no respect to the BBC, if they don't renew that for another season, you know, they're going to get snapped up by somebody else and they'll show it, whether it's ITV or Channel 4 or Sky. So I think for them, they need to show that. And it was a bit, I got to the end and I went, what? Really? I'm trying not to give too much away because hopefully by the time this podcast comes out in the next couple of weeks, everybody will have finished watching it. But there's always people who are still delayed. And I know...
Yeah, I've got a few of my colleagues hooked on it.
Yeah.
I said to them and they just sat and binged it. And...
Yeah. I know a lot of people that have done that. A lot of people have waited until it's finished and then binged it. But it is a good series. I liked it. Mm. I'm going to try... I didn't start from series one. I started on series... By the time series two came out, I then started watching series one to catch up. Excuse me. But my wife doesn't like programs really like that. And I think I may have got her to watch it with me because it's all on Netflix. You can watch it from the beginning on Netflix. So I think we're going to sit and watch it all again. And I think I said in my Marvel podcast, my dad missed one of the series, went back and watched it again, went, oh, well, that links that and that, because it links all the way along.
Yeah, all the seasons link, which is, it's impressive how they've done it.
Yeah, it is, and it's very clever, and they're showing clips about things that have happened in the past connected to the current series and all that sort of stuff, so I think it is really clever. I'm not massive. I do like Star Wars. Mm. And Restall, if you're listening, don't get offended. But Star Trek, mate. I do like Star Wars, but I'm more of a Star Trekker. But I will watch. I tried to watch The Mandalorian. And I really need to sit down and like really concentrate. Because I tend to have... I've got a really big mobile phone so that I can watch stuff on there. I've now got a tablet, which is a good tablet. So I watch stuff on there. I don't get anywhere near the TV. I've got kids. I don't get anywhere near it. So I can't watch on there. But I think that, yeah, I've tried with the Mandalorian. I need to try again with The Mandalorian. Because I've seen loads of clips on social media of stuff that happens and think, oh, that's brilliant. But then I can't just watch the episode. I've got to watch all the way up because it doesn't...
Yeah, there's... Because the movies miss out a lot of things.
Yeah.
So I've watched the Clone Wars cartoon series.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen a couple of them. Yeah.
That sort of, you know, fills in a lot of holes. Mm. Obviously, you've got Rebels as well. And now, obviously, you've got the Bad Batch. So those animated series, they fill in a lot of the slots. So if you watch The Mandalorian and you see Ahsoka, you're like, who's this? Mm. But obviously, if you watch the cartoon Clone Wars, you'd know who it is.
I think Disney have done a really good job in buying LucasArts because I think they, by buying them, they have been able to expand the Star Wars films into series and all sorts of stuff and open it up even more. And the same with Marvel. I'm a massive Marvel fan.
Yeah, me too.
And I like, I'm a DC fan as well, but I'm more Marvel. However, Batman is my favourite DC character. But Marvel, I can't, you know, you watch, like I've just finished watching, a couple of weeks ago, I finished watching Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which was a Marvel spin-off.
That's good.
People say about these and they go, oh, a bit shit. I'm like, no, it actually is really good. And
it links in, doesn't it?
Have you done the Marvel start to finish, all series, all spin-offs, all films in order, and all the little, like, 15-minute or 5-minute little extras?
So I started doing it.
Yeah.
But the issue I come across was because Sony have the picture rights for The Hulk.
Right.
So obviously you watch some of the movies.
Yeah.
And then was it the Hulk? Oh no, Spider-Man, isn't it? Spider-Man. And the Hulk. Yeah, Spider-Man.
No, so just, Spider-Man.
Just Spider-Man?
Yeah, just Spider-Man, yeah. Just,
okay. I've watched one movie and then obviously it goes on to one of the Spider-Man movies now. So yeah. I've got to watch that. So I don't want to carry on watching the Marvels on Disney Plus and miss out Spider-Man.
I would say though, like you said about Star Wars, I've done that. I've done all of that. I watched it. Took me nearly a year to watch it all during lockdown, and even the little bonus ones that they have on the DVDs. I didn't even know they're on the DVD. I look at my DVD collection and go, oh, I didn't even know that one was there. Or I go onto YouTube and find them. And actually, even the little snippet, 5-minute ones, 15-minute extras, blah, blah, blah. And then all the series, if you follow the list, I found this list online. I'll send it. There you go. But I've got this list online. You follow it to the absolute, you follow it to the detail, you get to Endgame and you go, oh, yes. Well, that linked in with that, and that linked in with that, and that linked in there. And I've, you know, there are some other series that I didn't know. There's one called The Runaways, which is Marvel one, which was on Amazon. I watched that, and that shows stuff about Marvel, but not directly. And you go, oh, I didn't remember that. And things like Agent Carter as well. You know, you watch that, and they link in together, and you know the Shield and the films, and you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm not a massive fan of Thor, but I watched all the Thor films in the order, and went, oh, and of course, then you get to Endgame, and it starts dropping back in time. I'm gonna give it. If anyone's not watched Endgame already, then you're stupid. But it drops back in, and they go, you know, they go back in time, etc. And it shows these. And I just sit and think, yes, well, I remember that, and I remember that happening, and this. So, and now going on, like Wanda and Vision, or WandaVision, or whatever it is.
Yep.
Falcon and Winter Soldier, you know, even WandaVision, little bits linked around, and, you know, peak characters, and, you know, they've got Loki coming and other stuff. And I sit there and go,
looking forward to that. That's not too long now.
About 3 weeks, I think it is.
Yeah.
And I watch those and go, and they've done a really good job, like the Star Wars with the Marvel. That was a massive plus to Marvel fans for Disney to buy and own Marvel, because they just expanded so much on what they're going to do, and they pump loads of my Marvel are loads of money anyway, but Disney have pumped tons more into it, and you've got people who are film stars, and it's started to become a bit of a norm thing now. Years ago, if you were a massive film star and you then appeared in a series, people go, oh, your film career is screwed, you know, you're obviously appearing in a series, you're not that good anymore. But film stars now appear in series, and they become better, you know, and they're more sought after, and it's starting to become, and things like streaming systems, services like Netflix, Amazon, Apple, Disney Plus, massive of you know, they're now making their own films, they're making their own series. Where I remember when Netflix first came out, it was just buying stuff off other people. It wasn't making its own. Now it's putting money into making its own. It's very exciting. I get very excited about it because I love TV.
Maybe there'll be one for podcasts, for your podcast.
I might do. Yeah. About it. Well, I might do. No, no. Negative. PMA, positive mental attitude. Yeah, it should be. So, but yeah.
They're doing the same with Star Wars now. They're bringing out so many new series, and they're going to make it like the Marvel timeline. So I'm looking forward to that.
That'd be good.
I'm geeking out about it.
Well, that'd be good again, because like the Marvel one, you'd be able to watch them in order, and it will start to, because I always found it weird with Star Wars that they started on episode 4. And I wasn't born when the first ones came out. Actually, I think I was born just after the second one came out.
Was it 77?
And the next one came out in 81 or 80. Maybe the third. I was born in 83, so I think the third one had come out, or was just about to come out, and I was born. I can't remember. And Star Wars fans would be going, no, you're wrong. You meant, you got all time dates wrong. Oh, all again. Sorry. And I remember watching those because my uncle was a Star Wars fan, and I remember watching those first three. And then when the second three, which are actually the first three, came out, I was like, yes, they're doing it in order, and it works out, you know, they're in line. And then when Disney bought LucasArts and said, oh, we're going to do the last three as well, I thought, oh, that's brilliant, you know, because kids that are born now, or kids that were born 10 years ago, will go, oh, yeah, well, they all came out, and I can watch them all in order. Well, yet in our lifetime, probably more mine than yours, you the first ones came out first, and it was almost sort of going forward, then back again. And you can definitely see the the change in technology over the nine films, how the fact that you watch the first ones who were not too old, but fairly sort of in the middle. Then you watch the next ones, which were like from the 70s, early 80s. Then you watch the last three, which were definitely after, you know, within sort of the last, what they, then the last sort of 5 or 6 years, those three films, and yeah, all the CGI and everything. But it still tells a great story, and it'll be interesting to see what they do in between. So,
see, I'm a massive fan of the first 1, 2, and 3, the Clone Wars series. Mm. You know, I like that because of the mass armies and the sort of, you know, obviously going to the older ones, it's like, no, it's not that interesting, but
you know, I would say, out of the first three, which one's your favorite one?
Revenge of the Sith.
No, I mean, the first release. Sorry.
Good start.
Yeah, get rid of that. Yeah, edit that bit. So out of the 1, 2, and 3, which is your favourite one?
Probably Return of the Jedi. Come on, what are we doing?
Right, okay. Edit it out. Right, so you've got 9 films, and you've got
yep.
1, 2, and 3, episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Right, okay.
So not the ones that were done in the 90s, early 2000s. So you've got Attack of the
Clone Wars, yep.
Attack of the Clones. I can't remember the other ones. I can't remember. Rubbish Star Wars fan. But
I'm sure.
So there's Attack. Do you know what? It's really bad now. I'm going to Google because I can't remember. My brain has gone numb.
I think I've answered this question for you. You sort of backtracked me. So, no, what's this?
Sorry, look.
Revenge of the Sith.
Oh yeah,
that's number 3.
Sorry, I thought you should Return the Jedi.
That's when they wonder. It's over, Anakin. I have the higher ground.
That's right. Yeah. Sorry. I apologize. Game back. Rubbish host. So out of the first three, out of episode 1, 2, and 3, which's your favorite one?
Revenge of the Sith. I keep saying Revenge of the Fifth.
Mine was Attack of the Clones. That was mine. Mm-hmm. The middle one. I like that. A bit better. Yeah. Out of the next three then, so 4, 5, and 6, what was your favourite?
Return of the Jedi.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I like the middle one. What was the middle one called? Rubbish. This is rubbish. It's a great podcast. I just can't remember what I'm talking about. The Empire Strikes Back. Yes. That was one that I always liked because I love the snow. And when they're driving those gliders and they're wrapping them around the ATAT. Is it the ATAT?
The ATAT.
ATAT. And then he swings up underneath. He swings up underneath his lightsaber and strikes the bottom off and then jumps up or chucks a grenade or whatever he does.
I've actually got a Lego ATAT. So, nice. Yep, Luke Skywalker's hanging off the bottom with his gun thing. Suction zooming thing. Up.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's hand grenading his I don't think they call it hand grenades.
cool. Sonic grenade or something like that. And what was your favourite one out of the last three then?
We're not gonna talk about those.
Did you not like them?
No.
Did you not like them?
No.
I like the Force Awakening. I didn't like the other two. They're a bit a bit daft. Anyway, let's get off Star Wars. Because I've totally balls it up. Wrestle's gonna be having a he's going to have an absolute kickoff about the fact I can't get him in the right bloody order. And then the last thing I got to talk about is Warzone, basically. So we already talked about how we became friends and teammates through Warzone. And we joined the squad. You know, Mason's an excellent player. There's a few out of our team, there's excellent players, there's really good players, there's average players, and then there's people who are like cannon fodder. Well, I definitely fall into the category of cannon fodder unless I'm having a good game, because it can be that I'm absolute dog shit at the game, but then I'll have a really good game and then I'll play crap like for the next month. Our team, they're great bunch of guys, and even today, some of the stuff today, mate, that really freaked me out about him coming around and filming my house.
Was that actually your house?
Was my house. That was when Watson came round. That was actually my house, but I wasn't there. And I rang him after he did that. I rang him, and Well, actually, it was quite a while afterwards because I was in the car. I had the CarPlay on, so I couldn't see any of the stuff that was being filmed. I could only hear the messages coming through on my CarPlay. But that was really funny because he drove around. I knew he was over this way anyway because he was on. He was either on the other night or he messaged me and said, "I'm going to be over your way." He said, "I could be driving past you." Well, no, he didn't say I could drive. He said, "I'm going to Yarmouth." That's right, Great Yarmouth. I said, "Oh, that's near me. Are you coming near me?" He went, "No." And then he did. And when he sent that, I just sat there and went, "That's my house. What is he doing?" I rang him straight away. He didn't even answer, say hello. He literally an he answered, cracking up with laughter. He knew exactly what I'm talking about. And thank
That's
you.
Watson for you.
I thank you, Chris, for giving him my home address because now it just come around all the time. But I do think, and we're going to do, I think we've already discussed about this. We're going to do another podcast just about guys and blokes and how they talk to each other and how things can help and stuff like that. But I definitely think, Warzone is a even if you go on it and you're absolute crap, I think because you can get on there and talk to other people, not just males. Our group is made up of guys, but there are female players who are much better than we are. And I think that if people can get on, and especially in the last sort of 15 months, the fact that you can't travel, you can't go anywhere, you can't go out, places are shut. I've talked about this in some of the other podcasts already, but I think it is a huge thing for people to communicate. And I would just say that anybody listening out there, whether you're male or female or whatever, if you have a partner who plays Warzone, just let them play Warzone because it is a. I'm not a professional when it comes to mental health, but or health in general, but I think that people need an outlet. Everybody has an outlet in what they do. I have quite a few different outlets. I'm not saying my life is stressful because it's not. It's just very busy with work and family and stuff like that. And I have a few outlets like Warzone is one. I play Airsoft, which is another, but Airsoft is unfortunately is only every other week. However, you speak to my wife, I'm always pissing around on my phone looking at new kit. And like we said at the beginning of this podcast, new kit, you've got to have the good stuff, you look around, you look up, and then you go to a game and you go, "Wow, he's got some good stuff." And
I want to buy
I want that. You look online, like we were talking, funny enough, we were talking just before I press record on this podcast, we were talking about some other kits because I said that basically we do these podcasts where they're online. And we record the audio, record the what we do, record the discussion, and I'll take the audio and then put it into the podcast. It's quite a common thing that people do. However, it's been done like this mainly because Mason lives quite far away from where I live. But also, even if I did travel, there's issues around COVID. You shouldn't be around people. There's been restrictions, etc. So anyway, I was looking at his equipment thinking, do you know what? We'll be able to very soon get people in a room together if they're comfortable and all sit around and record together. Because I think that doing it on Zoom is great, but being next to somebody, I've always found that if you're with somebody, it's easier than doing it online. And you get the atmosphere, blah, 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 and it makes it all good crack. I was looking at this equipment online that I'd asked somebody else about, and I'm looking at it thinking, that's how much, but I'm thinking I've now got it in my head thinking I've got to have that. I've got to have that because when I go and do the face-to-face ones of these podcasts, because I want this to carry on, you won't be able to just record. I don't think my speaker on my laptop is good enough to pick up everybody's reaction.
You're going to have us all around a table like a UN
Yeah, man.
conference.
Absolutely. No, we will. We will. No, I'm being deadly serious, mate. We will. We'll be around the table, somebody's house or somewhere, recording this. We at the moment, Mason and I are both wearing headsets because I find it easy because it blocks out any noise in the background. I can hear properly. It's got a microphone, but you won't be able to do well, depending on how many USB sockets I've got. But this piece of equipment, you can control sound levels and stuff like that. Get really geeky. There's people out there going, get on with it, son. We don't want to listen about your bloody podcast.
You're just going to have to make sure that wherever you sit pat, everything's bolted down so he can't lob it across the room.
How long have you waited to get that in? He's going to sit there. He's going to listen to this guy. They don't fucking like me. They just cuss me all the time on the podcast.
He's actually got a contract with Sony. This is why the PS4s, PS5s are not being manufactured, because he just keeps getting new PlayStations. Want to play Warzone? Throw your controller.
No, I got worried about Watson coming to my house. You're going to be at your place and all of a sudden you hear this. Listen, I'm here.
Like crap.
Yeah, it is. You just got to have the kit and yeah. I forgot what we were talking about now. Warzone, yeah. So I just think that you've got to have these different outlets, and I think anybody who has somebody who plays Warzone, yeah, they're gonna. I can't sit on it all day long, and actually, I play a lot of it in the evening, mainly because the kids play on the PlayStation, not my PlayStation. They play on the other PlayStation in our house and use the online facility, so I can't go on anyway. But I think, yeah, it's definitely an outlet, and I'll be honest with you, I've not been in a pub. I have been in a pub, but I've not been out drinking. I've not had a drink. Not that I'm alcoholic. I've not had a drink for 75 days now. I know.
Yeah. Do you get tokens as well? Or is that just for alcoholics?
What, for not... I don't know, mate. I'm not professional.
I'm literally sitting next to a 3-litre bottle of JD and about half a dozen bottles of rum.
Do you know what? And that's going to lead into my next question, is what is your favourite drink?
I like a mojito.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
I'm a bit of a... I like my rum. Do you know, that 3-litre bottle of whiskey has not really been touched by me. But I've got quite a selection of rum. I'll happily drink a rum, do you know, on it straight or with some coke in.
And you like beers, don't you? You like a few beers.
Do you know what? I've never used to like beer. It was only because I used to go to Germany with my ex-girlfriend, and Germany, that's all they drink, beer.
Yeah.
And I think because that was all that was able to drink, it used to be cider, but you know, beer got to the point now where, do you know what, I can drink beer. So, yeah. You know, I can drink it.
Yeah. I think I said in one of my podcasts earlier, earlier episodes, sorry, can't get my words out. When I go to Lake District, just drink bitter from the pubs. Love it. Love bitter. I don't drink anything else in the lakes. I might drink a little bit of wine, but yeah, mainly mine is wine. But yeah, beer is, you either love it or you hate it. But then people say beer and they go, oh yeah, I drink beer, I drink Foster's. And you're like, that's not beer, that's lager, that's mate. Not that's not bitter, son. But I'll drink Foster's when I drink, you know. I won't drink Carlin. So sorry, all the Carlin drinkers, I won't drink it. It tastes like piss.
this podcast is sponsored by Carlsberg, right?
Yeah. Sponsored by Foster's, yeah. What about non-alcoholic?
Non-alcoholic.
Water.
Water. Non-alcoholic. That is a good question. It'd have to go with Coke, like Coca-Cola. I won't say Coke because people might think it's the other stuff, but yeah, Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola. Yeah, nice.
I think I posted a photo on one of my social media about, oh, I'm sitting here with a Coke and rum, and obviously I didn't say Coke and rum. I just put Coke, rum, and they must have thought that I was sniffing the Coke. I was like, oh, geez. No, don't touch that.
None of that. Don't get it wrong. Yeah, that's the last thing you want. Just a disclaimer to anybody out there: we don't do drugs. No. Kids don't do drugs. Just bad for you. Yeah. We don't do that. It's just banter. So, mate, thank you very much for today. We've been chatting away for ages. I think this is probably the longest podcast I've got so far, but it's worthwhile. And I'm really pleased that we've been able to do this. I won't say that Mason got upset that I didn't invite him on the.
I think I've been pestering you, haven't you?
You said to me, because I got Chris on, because Chris, when I said to Chris was the first person I said about it, the podcast too. And then I sort of said to Bish as well, because we were talking about his cards and his books and stuff. And this is all on Warzone. And then Mason went, oh, where's my invite? Did I forget that one? I was like,
it was bounce, right. Man. I was only joking.
I'm down on the list. And I will be honest with the podcast, right? When I put the list together, because what they say you should do, you say you should put a plan together for 6 months of different people you want to invite on. And try and at the beginning you try and record a few together so you can put a few out so you can get people grabbed and you know interested, etc. And I put together this list and asked a few people. Most of the people that I've asked have said yes. But other people who I was making an assumption because I don't like making assumptions. Other people who I probably thought, well, I don't know, maybe, a few people have mentioned to me and said, oh, what about a podcast? I'm like, well, would you like to come on? And they've gone, oh, yes, please. I'm like, well, that's the thing. Anybody listening out there that I know, and even actually, maybe even if I don't know you too well, I can learn more about you, because I'm sure, Mace, if you've listened to these other podcasts and a couple of the ones that are coming up that I've done as well, I find out things about different people that actually I didn't know about them. And it's quite nice as well, because again, because there's people who've been on it who I've never met face to face. We know each other through other means. It's almost like a sort of, it's like a getting to know you type thing. And it's really nice, because one of my friends, Shona, I found that actually we have quite a lot of common interests on TV and stuff like that, that we never knew that we had, because we've worked together more business wise. We then found these things out, and I think it's really good. And I find a lot of people who have come on so far, and I hope with other people that I've got planned to come on, that I'll find more things out there. So yeah, if you are listening and you think, yeah, I'd like to get on there and try and get a word in edgeways, because Jim does talk a lot of shit, then let me know, and I'll you know, I'll gladly have anybody on, you know, within reason, to come and talk, because it's one of them programs. This is quite a laid-back podcast, and it's just a chat and you know, chew the fat and put the world to rights, and you know, spill the tea, as they say. So on that note, Mason, you've been an absolute star. Thank you very much for today, mate, again, and I really appreciate it. And this is Mason on the podcast of Spill the Tea with Jimmy C. So thank you, mate.
Get it right, come on.
Oh, no, don't. I've done it before. I did one before. I did it three times before I got the end, and I had to edit it to get it right. So but yeah, no, I really appreciate it, mate.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me. It's
been really good. And get you back on again soon.
It looks like you're in prison with that white wall behind you.
For those who can't, I've got a background of a white wall. I've had it as a blur to try and blur out the rest of the room, but I've got it as a white wall. So yeah, I just need to put some bars in front now to see. Oh dear. Anyway, thank you, mate. I really appreciate it. It's been really good. So that was episode 8 of Spill the Tea with Jimmy C podcast with Mason. Thank you very much, buddy. And
no worries.
Catch you all very, very soon. Bye-bye.